You are listening to a message from The Exchange in Pearl, Mississippi. To find out more about The Exchange, go to www.theexchange.cc.
Today, we're wrapping up the series we've been in throughout the month of July called The American Myth. The American Myth. In this series, we have been chasing after the idea that it's so easy for us to chase after what's called the American Dream. This thought that, hey, if I could just get a little more comfort, a little more stuff, a little more approval, man, then somehow I could be what I want to be. I could be fulfilled. I can match up to what culture says will make me whole and happy and fulfilled and all that. And we're like, man, it's really, it's not a dream, it's actually a myth, because you're chasing things that you'll never fully catch, that will never completely fulfill, never completely sustain you. And so in a lot of ways, we've said the American dream could ultimately be called the American myth. So if you missed either one of the first three parts of our series, we talked about comfort, we talked about approval, we talked about perfectionism. All right, all my perfectionists, I got all up in your business last week, didn't I? All right. If you missed any of that, you can go back on our website or our social media channels and catch up with the series. Today, all right, part four, we're going to be talking about the endless pursuit of more. More money, more stuff, more things. If I could just get a little bit more, okay? So now that everybody's fired up, because we're going to talk about money and stuff today, I want to ask a few questions, okay? Just kind of set the table, put us all on the even playing field today. But I'm asking you to participate, okay? Because if you don't, it's just not that much fun and I feel all alone, okay? And so here's a few questions I want you just to answer by a raise of hands. How many of you would honestly admit that you wouldn't mind being rich? How many of you, okay? Cool. Some of you didn't raise your hands that much for Jesus a while ago. I'm just saying, okay? And some of you went double hand raise on that question. How many of you wouldn't mind being rich? Okay, cool, a lot of us. How many of you would say you know somebody at some point in your life, you've known somebody, been in their circle, work with them, whatever, who was rich? How many of you know somebody who was rich? Cool, man, a lot of connected people. It's all about who you know in life. That's what I've heard. And how about this? Okay, let's be honest about, you don't have to name those people, but how many of you would say, hey, that rich person in my life, I kind of watch them. I honestly feel like I could do a little better job of being rich than they did. And are you willing to admit that? Some of you, okay, you've heard of like stupid rich before. You're like, no, I'd be smart rich. Okay, I'd give it all away and all that. Okay, and now here's the last question. This one's a little bit more personal, okay? So you got to be real about that. This is a little more personal. How many of you would honestly admit that you are, like, you're really, really, really rich? How many of you really rich, like loaded? Cool. A few loaded people in the house, if you see those hands real quick, okay, they'll take you to lunch. It'll be good. All right, how many of you really rich? Okay, some of you. I don't see quite as many hands going up. I know most of you just said you're not really rich, but you'd love to be really, really rich, which really just gives me the reason to talk to you today, okay? Because all of us are in this endless pursuit of more. If I could just have a little bit more, right? A little bit more money, a little bit more stuff, a little bit more things, if I could just have a little bit more. I did a little research on your behalf this week, and I found an article that talked about what people said that they would do for a little bit more. In fact, there's actually a lot more. What would people do for money? This article hit on, what would people do for $5 million? What would you do for $5 million? Some of you are already thinking, like, I would do a lot of things, okay? What would you do for $5 million? Here's the report. I want to give some of it to you. Some of this is going to blow you away. Some of it maybe not. 53% of people, you ready for this, Rankin County? 53% of people said they would only listen to country music for the rest of their life, all right? Some of you, like, I already got that covered. Like, I'm good with that, okay? Because some of y'all fancy, like, Applebee's on a date night, all right? Oreo shake with the, y'all didn't even know. Y'all didn't even know I knew, but I know, all right? I know. Some of y'all, like, what is Apple? Okay, listen, just listen to the country station, all right? So 53% of people listen to only country music. 75% of people say for $5 million they'd eat a cockroach, a live cockroach. I'm just saying, I'm going to leave that there, okay? 70% of people would do 5 years in a maximum security prison for a crime they didn't commit. That's how bad they want it. That's what I'm just saying. 56% of people said that they would quit the internet. They would quit the internet for 15 years, all right? Some of our teenagers just hyperventilated. They're like, no internet. How do we live, okay? 76% said that they would live in solitude for 20 years for $5 million, all right? This one's disturbing, but I'm just reporting to you the facts. 50% of people said that they would accept the money knowing that someone, one random person somewhere in the world would die. That's That's what they said, 50% of people. All right, and then the last one's this one. 93% of people said they would do this for $5 million. They would never bathe again or use deodorant. All right, some of our teenage boys are like, I'm already doing that for free, all right? I don't even know I could get $5 million for that, all right? I'm already living there. Man, people do a lot of crazy stuff. A poll was done that interviewed a lot of people who make a lot of different types and ranges of money to kind of find out and answer this question, what is rich? In other words, like, what point do you have to get to that once you get to that point, you're like, boom, now I'm rich, all right? And so they interviewed a whole bunch of people, make a lot of different amounts of money, and they said, what is rich, okay? So for those who made $30,000 a year, okay, some of you may make a little more, some of you make a little less, but if you're in that range, the average person said, if I make $30,000 a year, I would need to make $74,000 a year, and if I can make that, then I would be rich, okay? Now, there's some of you, maybe you make $74,000 a year, and you're like, listen, I'm just telling you, you ain't exactly going to be rich if you get there, all right? Bills still come. For some people who made $50,000 a year, they said, if I could just make 100 grand, if I could get to six figures, double my income, then I would be rich. Ooh, $100,000, okay? Now, some of you, you got like multiple kids in college, you paid for weddings, you got car bills, medical, you're like, I could burn through $100,000 real fast, all right? But that's what some people thought. Then the last group, they went to the top income earners. So like people well into six figures. And they said, what would it take for you to cross the rich line, for you to be rich? They said $5 million in assets. If I had $5 million in assets, then I would be rich. So you kind of think about like the old poor guy with only $2 million in assets. He doesn't really feel rich yet, right? Because he hasn't made it to that $5 million goal. You see, so many of us, we're in this pursuit of a little bit more. What I know about you is you don't feel rich because the bills still come, and for some of you, the bills seem to be more than what's in the account that you checked yesterday. So what do? We're all caught in this endless pursuit of more. If I could just have a little more. What is rich? Well, that survey just kind of told us rich is a moving line. In other words, you're never going to hit that target. But what do you need to be happy? What do you need to feel rich, to be satisfied in life? Most people would say, what is that number? Well, I don't know exactly what that number is, but I just know that it's a little bit, you said it too. It's just a little bit more. That's why Jesus talks so much about a right perspective on stuff, on money, on things, okay? Luke chapter 12, we're going to be there for a little bit. Luke 18, 1 Timothy 6. I want to show you what Jesus said to a group of people. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 15 on the screen. Then Jesus said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Jesus said the quality of your life is not measured by the volume of your stuff. Then he says, be on guard. Like, be very watchful. Be very careful, because everything in culture is shouting at you and is shouting at me, you need a little bit more. In fact, the overwhelming message of culture, if you want to write this down so you can remember it when you hear it tomorrow or this afternoon, the overwhelming message of culture is this: what you don't have is what you need to be happy and fulfilled. What you don't currently have right now, if you could just have that, then you would be happy and fulfilled. What you don't have is what you need. But Jesus says, hey, just listen, like, just be on guard, because your life, it doesn't amount to the amount of stuff that you have. Your life is not consist in the abundance of stuff. Jesus told a powerful illustration about a rich guy. Now, this rich guy was a farmer. Apparently, he had a great harvest. He had like a record year, crazy year, bountiful harvest, so much stuff, didn't know what to do with it. Like, he's literally asking the question, what am I going to do with all this stuff? And if you read it, you know what happens. He starts going, well, like, I know what I'll do. I got it. Like, I'll tear down the barns that I got because they're so small. I'll build bigger barns, put all my crops, all my harvest in there. Then I'll retire, kick back, relax, throw a whole bunch of parties. And God comes to this guy a little bit later in Luke chapter 12, and this is what God says to this rich guy, Luke chapter 12, verse 20. But God said to him, you fool, man, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. Now watch this. what's fascinating about this story is that God wasn't mad at this guy for being rich. Think about it. Who made him rich? God did. God's the one who brought him the harvest. God's the one who brought him the plentiful bounty of harvest. God wasn't disappointed in this guy for being rich, but he said, I'm disappointed in you because you're not rich toward God. He was only rich in the things of the world, but he was not rich in what mattered most. So with that in mind, here's where I want to go today as we dive into Scripture a little more deep. I want to give you some good news, and I want to give you some bad news, okay? Good news, bad news. So which you want first? Good news, bad news? Cool. All right, we're going with the good news because that's how I got it in my notes. You didn't really have a choice, all right? But I just want to wake you up, okay? Good news is this. Here's the good news. Lean in. It's really good news. The good news is you're rich. You are rich. You can write that down in case you forget it. The good news is you're rich. Now, you said you weren't rich, but you are rich, okay? Now, you said you don't really feel rich because you got more bills than you got in the account, but the reality is you are rich. Now, here's the thing. We can get a little bit perspective, all right, if you want to argue with me, when we think about it this way. Around 3 billion, with a B, 3 billion people in the world right now are living on $2 a day or less. And some of y'all spent $5 on a cup of coffee on the way to the gathering today. You see, when you begin to grasp it that way, you begin to realize that you and I are really, really rich. Good news is we are rich, okay? Now, you can often tell just how rich you are by looking at the things that upset you, the things that like get under your skin a little bit, like the fact that you ordered that $100 pair of shoes and it's going to take it 3 days to get to your house with free shipping rather than two, but you wanted to wear it on the second day and it's not going to get there until day three. Are you with me? All right? Or the fact that you went through the drive-through line where somebody prepared your food for you, got it to you in 5 minutes or less, but they left out your little chicken dippy sauce, all right? Or the fact that your Netflix is buffering on your Wi-Fi and it won't connect. Or the fact that you forgot your AirPod, so you had to actually pick up the phone and put it on your... Isn't that so annoying? You had to put it on your ear. You couldn't talk through your wireless headbuds anymore, right? That's the problem. You can often tell how rich you are just by what upsets you. Think about it. You can pull out your device right now. Some of you got it out. You need to put your phone in your pocket, okay, unless you're reading your Bible. But you can pull out your phone at any point and play just about any song in the world right now. You can stream any movie, play any game. When you are hungry, okay, when you guys get done today, when the preacher shuts up and you go to lunch, all right, when you're hungry, you can go outside and get in your car and start driving, which puts you in just already, just boom, like that, in the top 15% of the richest people in the world, all right, just because you're driving your car down. You're loaded. But then you go into lunch and you pass 14 perfectly fine restaurants to get to your restaurant because that's the restaurant where you wanted to go to. And when you get to that restaurant, somebody has already, all right, killed the cow, caught the fish, cut the head off the chicken. I know that's violent, but that's how your chicken salad comes, all right? They've set in the back. They've cleaned it all. They've prepared it. They've cooked it perfectly. They put it on a plate, cleaned it all up, put a little garnish on top, and they deliver it to you, but you get upset because it took more than 7 minutes. You see, the reality is we're rich, man. We got rich people problems. That's how rich we are. That's good news today is that you are rich. You loaded, okay? Now, I know that there might be some people listening. I want to take a second. I know there's some people listening to me right now, and maybe you are in an extremely difficult financial position. Right? Maybe it's medical bills greater than you've ever seen. You're in the midst of a divorce. You're a single parent trying to hold it all together. And look at me. God sees your position. He doesn't forget you today. He knows you, and he says that he will supply everything that you need, that he's with you. He sees you. But for the majority of us listening in this moment, we're rich. We're richly blessed, provided for. We got more than we need. So if we're going to acknowledge before God that he's actually blessed us, that compared to most people in the world, all right, we're really rich, then what we want to do is we want to be really good at being rich. We want to be rich in a way that honors God. Not that we're chasing the dream to find it's a myth, but we're chasing what is eternal. So in order to be good at being rich, we first got to acknowledge it. Okay, that's why I've been presenting the case to you so that you can see, hey, ain't no argument, we are rich. And so kind of in a way to publicly together acknowledge that today, can we just all say out loud, I'm rich? I'm rich. Now, let's try one more time, and maybe this time in the reflection of our voice, maybe there's a little bit of gratitude, like, God's blessed me. I'm thankful. I'm acknowledging it. God, I see it's a gift from you. Can we just say I'm rich together?
I'm rich.
And my God has blessed me. He's taken care of me in ways that I could not imagine. Now, here's the thing. For some of you, that felt weird to say. Some of you feel uncomfortable saying that. Maybe even like a little bit embarrassed or ashamed. You're like, I don't know if my kids need to hear me saying that, all right? They'll tell them what they'll ask for. I wonder why, if that's you and you feel a little awkward, or you feel a little embarrassed or ashamed to say that, why do you feel that way? Why do you feel that way when it comes to admitting where you are in this area of life? I love a verse that Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 19. He says this about God. Look at it on the screen. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions, who gives wealth? God gives wealth. Some of you go, no, I'm a self-made man. I work hard. Well, listen, God made you. God gave you the talents, the skills, the knowledge. He put you in this country where you get more opportunities probably than anybody else. Okay, God went first in making you who you are. Keep reading Ecclesiastes 5:19. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift from God. So let me just ask you, if you feel embarrassed or apologetic or ashamed to admit that you're rich, ask yourself, in what other area of your life are you blessed and embarrassed by the blessing? Think about it, okay? And I'm a happily married man, working on 13 years, a beautiful bride. If you came up to me and were like, man, you and Heather, y'all have such a great marriage. I'm not going to respond to you. No, we don't. No, it's not really. No, it'd be awkward, wouldn't it? If you're like, man, you seem so healthy. No, I'm not really. No. That's not how I'm going to respond, is it? So why in this area do we apologize for the blessing that God has put into our life? Recognize it came from God, but recognize it's a blessing to be used for God. I'm rich. You're rich. We're blessed. That's the good news. The good news is you're rich. We're rich. Told you there's good news. Told you there's also bad news. Here's the bad news. You ready? The bad news is you're rich. The bad news is you're rich. It's good news, but it can also be bad news because it can ultimately put us at a great spiritual disadvantage. Jesus had a pretty meaningful conversation with a rich and powerful young guy. He's talking about his stuff. You see, this guy's stuff, his money, his things were so captivating to him that it actually hindered him from being a follower of Jesus. It kept him back that much. And so here's the conversation. Here's what Jesus says to this rich, powerful guy. Luke 18, verse 24. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Good news is you're rich. You're blessed. The bad news is you're rich. And it can be a tremendous spiritual disadvantage to you and to me. Why? Why is it a spiritual disadvantage? Because you already have a roof over your head. You already got a pantry full of food. And chances are for most of us, in the last few years or the last few decades, we have not had to literally pray, God, give us today our daily bread. Because you already covered. And I am too. And maybe we've missed out on seeing God directly provide when there is no other way but Him. See, being rich can also be a disadvantage because we can become so distracted. We can become so distracted. We have rich people options, rich people opportunities. And the reality is we got so many choices. Sometimes we're exhausted, like we're worn out. All right, because of all the opportunities and the options to manage all the stuff that we got, and we can miss out, all right, on what matters most. If you just don't believe me, you can go to some developing nation or country. And on day one, you can walk into the village, into a hut, into a community, and you're in shock at how little they live on and how different their life is, what their kids don't have. By day three or day four, you begin to realize they have something that you don't have. That they have an intimacy and relationship. They have a time for family. They have maybe an intimacy with God that you and I don't have, because what we have that they don't have isn't just money, but it's also the stress of managing all the stuff. And maybe by day five or six of that trip, there might be just a little small part of you that begins to have a jealousy because of the life that they have, the simplicity, the togetherness, the community, the abundance of relationship, the intimacy with God. See, the good news is we're rich, but the bad news is it can also create a great disadvantage for us. Another reason that it's a disadvantage is because to whom much is given, Scripture would also say much is required, that you can truly enjoy what God has given to you, but it also comes with more responsibility. But yet the continual message of culture is what you don't have is what you need. The newer phone, the bigger TV, the newer purse, the shoes, the outfit, the jeans, the jacket, the backpack, the speakers, the different house, the check with the more zeros, the other furniture, the accessories, the decorations. It goes on and on and on. What you don't have, that's what you really need, because if you got it, then you would be happy. And that's why Jesus said, hey, be on guard. Like, just be alert. Why? Because a person's life, what matters most, doesn't consist in the abundance of their stuff. Just not where their value's found. It's not what's going to last forever. See, here's what I know about you, because it's true about me. We know that in our heads, that truth that I just declared is real. That, man, we'll never fully be happy if I get more stuff. We know that. But the problem is it's not reflected in the lifestyle that we live. Because culture keeps shouting, need a little bit more, need a little bit more. And for some of us today, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if you were honest today, you'd have to go, you know what? I'm spending more than I make. Why? Because I bought the lie that a little bit more would satisfy. A little bit more. And the very way that most of us live in this culture today says what we really believe is that a little bit more will make us happy. And here's what we have to understand. Don't miss this today, church. Whenever we believe that more will help, more money, more things, more stuff, whenever we believe that, we have to recognize that we are under the curse of money. That's hard to admit. But whenever we believe that our problems will be solved by more, more stuff, more money, we are under the curse of money. And what I hope you'll understand today is that more money ain't gonna help your kid get off drugs. In fact, more money may propel him to live that lifestyle even more. More money is not going to immediately make your depression go away. It's not going to immediately heal that loved one who has cancer. It's not going to just immediately fix your marriage. What we need is not more of what's temporary. What we need is more of what's eternal. What we need is not more money, but what we need is more Jesus. More Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not broken temporary hope of this world, but living hope of eternity. Oh, come be in me. And be louder than that voice inside of me that says, I just need a little bit more. See, the reality is you don't want to live life under the power of something of this world. But man, what would it look like to live life under the blessing of what's eternal? That's why I love what Paul told to Timothy. Paul's mentoring Timothy. He's telling him how to lead, encouraging him. He's like, hey, when you go hang out with the rich people, here's your message to them. But now listen, before we read this, this is not just Timothy's message to the rich people in 1 Timothy 6, but you know who he's also talking to? You and me. So don't hear this as like, this is the message to the rich person that you were thinking about at the beginning of the message. You were like, yeah, I know somebody who's rich. No, this is a message to us, to you and me. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, command those who are rich, me, you, who are rich in this present world, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. It's so uncertain. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. In other words, don't feel guilty when you're rich. God gives it to you. He can bless abundantly. He loves to bless his kids. He loves to take care of his kids. God richly blesses. He richly provides, especially when we're faithful. And some of you, let's be real, some of you just been faithful. Man, you've managed what God's given to you. You stewarded it. You've multiplied it. God's blessed it. So don't feel guilty for being rich, but feel responsible. Don't feel guilty, but feel responsible. God's blessed you, but it's not all for you. All right, don't forget that. To whom much is given, and that's most of us, much is required. That's why God's word to rich people is this. Keep going. Verse 18, here's where we left off. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, here we go, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy tells them, be generous, be willing to share, be rich in good deeds, and then here's the result. You take hold of the life that's truly life. Not the myth, but what's true, what's eternal, what lasts. We're rich, church. That's really good news. But we're rich. And it can also be a spiritual disadvantage because more is expected of us. More responsibility comes. And man, just as I wrestle with this truth today and all week leading up with this, I don't know about you, but like, man, everything in me wants to live this out. My God's blessed me. I'm rich, but I will not trust in my riches, but I will trust in the God who richly provides. And because I have more, I'm called to do more, to give more, to trust more. God's equipped me and empowered me in that way. And what if we became a people? What if we became a spiritual house that was not on the pursuit of more, but what if we vowed to do something that matters, like to make a difference, like rich people can make, that kind of difference? I don't know what that looks like for you and your life as a single parent or a couple or a grandparent. I don't know what that looks like, but maybe it's like God's calling you to help pay your friend's rent for a month anonymously because you can, because you're rich. Maybe God's calling you to buy groceries for a coworker or somebody who's struggling in your life because you can, you're rich. Or maybe it's to do more, to be rich in good deeds. Maybe it's to give up a Saturday and men to serve somebody at their house or at a ministry partner. Or maybe it's to serve here within our spiritual community, to serve our men next gen ministry with our kids or students because you go, man, I want them to know about the God who's richly provided for me. I'm going to be rich in good deeds. Man, I believe God calls us to that because here's the deal. Don't miss this. When we lose our life by giving and serving, Jesus says, then we actually find it. That's God's economy. Look at these verses one more time so it begins to sink in. 1 Timothy 6, verse 18. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Why? So that in this way, man, they're making an investment that's so much greater than their 401k. They lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. What's eternal? So that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. That's the goal. That's what you really long for. See, we're a church family made up of people of all different ages, walks, places in life. One of my new best friends in our church family is a little boy, 7 years old, second grader. His name is Raylan, all right? Me and Raylan are becoming, right here, we're becoming pretty tight, all right? Not my son Braylon, but this is Raylan. And this week I got a text that Raylan was on the way to the barber, all right, to get his hair cut. And he looked at his mama, unsolicited from me, and said, hey, mama, I would like to get a haircut like Pastor Bryant. All right? Needless to say, that shut down my day right there. All right? I was done. I was accomplished. All right? There's a lot of things I long to pass on to the next generation. My hairstyle, I didn't necessarily think was one of those, but it's on the list now. You got to take what you can get. All right? So a few hours later, I get a follow-up text. And it's got pictures of my man Raylan, all right, with his new do. And I brought them for you today, all right, so we can see how they did, okay? Look at this man. Is that man looking good or what, all right? Barbara did good. I kind of think Raylan wears it better than I do, all right? We're going to have a discussion about that, all right? But, you know, my main man Raylan, he not only has good choice in hairstyle, but I want to tell you another story about something that he's done over the last month. See, last month when we had our Camp Kid Life experience here for all of our elementary kids, and we spent a whole week just talking about what does it look like to focus on Jesus, to live for him, our kids were challenged with a mission opportunity. And they were told about an organization called Souls for Souls. And this organization collects shoes from people all over the world, all over the country, and helps give those souls, those shoes, to people who don't have shoes, and ultimately to people who need to hear about the hope of Jesus. And they use that opportunity to spread the hope of the gospel. Raylan, 7 years old, showed up on night one, and he heard that there are people in the world who don't have shoes. And Raylan thought about the closet full of shoes that he had. And so Raylan went home that night, went into his closet, pulled out his favorite pair of boots. Talking about like boots you wear every single day, boots he wore until he had blisters because he wouldn't take them off those boots. Boots that mom and dad were like, hey, maybe we keep those boots one day for your kid. Give them to your kid. And Raylan pulled him out of the closet, walked into the living room where his parents were, biggest smile on his face. Said, Mom and Dad, I'm taking these to camp tomorrow night because I want to give them away to people who don't have shoes because I want them to know about the hope of Jesus. You see, it didn't stop there because last week, Raylan got to go to another vacation Bible school here in our community, and he showed up there, and he heard that they were helping people who didn't have a place to live. So Raylan went home and took his whole piggy bank full of change that Grandma and Grandpa had just dropped off. And he said, Mom, I'm taking that. And he did. And he gave it without a moment of hesitation, biggest smile on his face. Sometimes maybe we need to be a little bit more like a kid. Because you see, church, culture is never going to stop shouting. What you don't have is what you really need. Just get a little bit more. And Jesus says, no, hold on. Be on your guard. Watch out. Because your life is not made up in the abundance of your stuff. That's not what defines you. It's never going to fully make you happy and whole. But here's what I'm telling you today, church. I'm rich. My God has blessed me beyond what I deserve. But I will not trust in my riches, but in the God who richly provides. And because we have more, we can do more. We can give more. We can serve more. And my prayer is that we would be a people who would not get caught chasing the dream, only to find it's a myth. But that we would be people who chase what's eternal, knowing that is what matters most.
Thanks for listening to this message from The Exchange. If you would like to talk to someone about your faith journey, you can contact us through our website, www.theexchange.cc, or by calling or texting 601-397-6111. Now let's go be the church.